Blog Talk Radio.
It's the one and only Sham Rocker. L.I.G.'s up, lyrically intensified gang. And right now I got you tuned into 93.3 on your FM-ism. The only station playing the funkadelic with the Temptations. You dig? 93.3, baby, that's the ism. OG from the West Coast, I'm riding with him. Penthouse player, P-Gang spitter. Straight Los Angeles, home of the scandalous. I'll be right back in a minute, let me handle this. Radio drop, Sham Rockets with the business. Working, focus, new West Coastin'. Back it on up, drop it low, go ahead and work that. You hard booty, cause you's a cutie. And it's you I'm choosing, keep it G steady moving. It's like a jungle, sometimes it makes me wonder how I keep them going under. In fact, I'm on top and no, it won't stop. We're heated at that beat, knock me, fall off, I think not. It's on at 9 o'clock, I'm posted up at the spot with a folio. Listening to blogtalkradio.com in the ears, you know what the really is. 93.3 Cadillac, baby.
93.3 FM. We call this the After Six Cruise Mix. Welcome to the Sunday Night Flight, Lowrider Oldies, R&B, and all in between. Request line is 347-308-8747. Tonight's broadcast, sponsored by I Am Indians, who create open commentary, evoke emotion, and find some viable solutions to a problem of epidemic proportions, which primarily was based from Los Angeles, California. That's the original gang capital of the world. Special guest is a controversial, well-spoken youth minister slash author slash activist, one of the founding members of the international entity organized crime organization better known as the Crips, Mr. Angelo Barefoot Pookie White. You've seen him in the newspapers. You've seen him on the docuseries Gangland. Tonight you will hear him live. He will be on the premises. On behalf of I Am Indy, 93.3 FM wants to put it out here in a real way that we will not take part in any attempts to glorify, encourage, or promote a lifestyle with criminal implications. The music expressed and played tonight is a backdrop of the era associated with tonight's topic as it relates to a generation stuck in conflict. And I might add, all the songs played tonight were hit songs from hit albums. Heed the message. I am just a messenger. You are tuned in to 93.3 FM. ISM. 347-308-8747 is the number to call if you have comments, dedications, or donations. I'd like to say good looking out, Miss China James. She's tuned in from Los Angeles, California. Two thumbs, three fingers, and a nine. Mr. Conrad Aldridge. He's listening from Houston, Texas. You're 93.2 FM, y'all. The only station playing lowrider oldies, R&B, and all in between. You heard it from me. I am the original Los Angeles Peace Fed Up. Tweed Cadillac, baby. Tonight's show is planning to be a big one. We have another special guest. You've also seen him on Gangland. You've seen him in the hood. You've seen him on the streets. He's all about the peace. His name is Mr. Skip Townsend. I need you guys to stay tuned. 93.3. Don't touch that knob. This is my day job.
Crime, brother.
93.3 FM.
See the same old thing, same dope things, cops. Just the average day in the street of California. Five both on a young girl dead round the corner. Mommy's on her knees, she had tears in her eyes. And her body knew why the young girl had to die. People look ashamed, it's been like this for years. Bloody sheets on her body, face wet from her mommy's tears. She couldn't have been over 4 or 5. And if mommy was a bait, she would still be alive. But now the street is a place, it could be swallowed by death. Brothers taking each other's lives and going to rest in peace. I wonder if heaven got a ghetto. My cousin died last year and I still can't let go. I walk the streets of my city, of my neighborhood. Seeing dope fiends living off canned goods. 15 niggas on the corner. And niggas die young in California. 5-0 will get a dope case and flaunt it. Have your ass on America's most wanted. But I don't slang or either gangbang. And but my old school homies do the same thing. I still got love cause you gotta live. So you can give. And raise a family, G. But you gotta do your best slanging D-O-P-E. So keep a grip on yourself and stay mellow. And welcome to the ghetto.
Better known as the Creeps. 93.2 FM. It's not too late, y'all. Tell a hater to tell a player. 347-308-8747. South Central is in the building. Two thumbs, three fingers, and a nine.
Make it hard. You don't need cash, money, or a master.
93.3 Tweet FM ism tonight's broadcast may be considered controversial to some, but we're about to get it in a real way. A lot of people that might not know my history, I too am from South Central Los Angeles, California. Mr. Barefoot, Pookie is in the building, Mr. Angelo White, along with Mr. Skip Townsend. Respected people, so I had to go to the top to understand and realize and recognize the plight of our community. We are here to fix the issue, not to glorify it. Please stay tuned to 93.3 FM. Don't touch that knob. It's my day job.
To deal with gang violence isn't working, but we just keep doing the same thing over and over again. And then we say, well, the fact that it isn't working doesn't mean that we're acting out of ignorance or maybe we need to learn something. We say it just proves that these kids are unredeemable.
It's a belief that our society did not contribute to the formation of this problem. That's the story of the scapegoat. The gang member is the scapegoat. Nothing's our fault, it's their fault. We didn't create them. They're inevitably incorrigible.
People who care, who want to see a better community, want to see a better country, and we got to start getting together and having some sit-downs so that we don't keep breeding generations and generations who only think that that's the way to go. An alternative to that lifestyle has to be put in place. And if they want to see change, then they're going to have to be willing to invest in that alternative lifestyle.
The resources were here. You're saying these kids wouldn't choose gangs?
No, man. You choose that because there's no hope. You in no man's land. There's no hope.
We lived it every day. We walk to school with it. We are a part of it. As I said before, these viewpoints should not be taken out of context.
I was raised in the hood, called what's the diff? Whether brothers in the hood be syphilis. So I rest these fits on my ligaments. The grip pump on my lap, risking it. No life giving, never giving it back. Too late for slipping. So fly. Oh, it's on my lap, it's on your lips. Some trash dust. I still dip, pump, lick, but pump, but. And I'm saying, ain't no question who the man is. In my service, got in this show biz. I should fool, I can fool. Come on, what you say? I can take care of all you motherfuckers. No delay, right away.
Grip palm on my lap at all times. Grip palm on my lap at all times. I want you to get yourself and your soul together. This man will make your liver quiver. This man will make your bladder splatter. This man will freeze your knees. If you will, let's all welcome the world's godfather of soul, soul brother number one, James Brown! James Brown! James Brown!
You heard it from me, the original Los Angeles peace spitter, the party rocking player. 93.2 FM. So you want to be a gangster, huh? I'm going to introduce you to some real gangsters, and they're going to tell you that you couldn't be making the wrong choice in your life. Go ride oldies, R&B, and all in between, baby. Of South Central Los Angeles tonight, you're about to understand it. Coming to this platform right now is Mr. Angelo Barefoot Pookie Wright. Good evening, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, blessed.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. You've been at the top of the totem pole. If anyone can tell the story, you should be able to do that. Lived it, you've done that, you survived it. As I said earlier, tonight's show will not take part in any attempts to glorify, encourage, or promote a lifestyle with criminal implications. We are here for healing, to find some viable solutions to a problem that is at an epidemic proportion. My first question, sir, is we've lived this, right? We've seen the damage that is done to our community. Although it's been so many other factors that have been involved, which we're going to touch them all tonight because I'm very vocal about this as well, as you are. But by you being an author and you have your new book, it's called From Crips to Christ. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that right now and then we can get into some real street stuff.
Well, the name of the book is Crip Chronicle, the history of the Crips from the beginning and the ending part, Crip to Christ, where I changed my life around and I'm giving back now.
Well, indeed, man. I'm glad that you're giving back. A lot of people don't know that from my point of view in regards to South Central Los Angeles, where a lot of my listeners might not know that I was born and raised also. We were never jumped into a gang. It was like we went to school with each other. We were a part of the community. So it's like now the effects that it has today, I've lost so many loved ones till it would be too big for me to even list right now. I mean, man, and we're not even talking about the effects that rap music and drugs had or the police. We're going to get into all of that as well. But from your perspective, did you ever think that it would get out of hand? Because basically it was started just to be able to protect our own neighborhoods from outside entities. Did you ever think that it would turn out to be what it is today nationwide?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Well, I know that, you know, we through Raymond Washington, through Raymond Washington's his legacy, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, Crips Don't Die, They Multiply, Crip or Die, and that was about protecting our hoods. And I never thought it would get to this part where Crips are fighting Crips, Bloods are fighting Bloods, black on black crime, and it's taking off. So, what we have done, I belong to CHAMPS, Community Helping to Making Positive Steps. We go all over the United States and abroad. We are also been to the Dominican Republic dealing with the solutions of gangs. I never thought that it would be, but we prepared for it through Christ, through believing in God, we're ready for it.
Well, I try to tell youngsters, I remember the first time somebody called me an OG, and I grew up in the hood. We was teens, yeah, we did crazy stuff, but I wasn't that rah-rah gangbanger. I was trying to be a rapper back in the day. But I know real Crips, and people be talking about, yeah, man, we real Crips. It's like, no, y'all ain't real Crips. I know real Crips. I have lost real Crips that should actually be with me right now and doing what I'm doing right now, and they would have my back. I mean, we weren't bred to be what the media has portrayed everybody. When drugs came into the picture, it kind of changed things. The economic structure of Los Angeles kind of changed. I was telling a friend of mine the other day, he said, man, I grew up in what city was he talking? He was talking about he grew up in Chicago and he's a Crip. And I said, man, in a project in Chicago. And I'm like, okay, well, there ain't really no Crips that I know about in Chicago. I know they migrated and what so have you, but it's like he said he never lived in a house. And I was trying to tell him that in my neighborhood, we never lived in an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people that I know were gang members, came from two-parent homes, mother and father, had jobs, and all of that. So that's a misconception that I kind of want to clear up right about now, because a lot of people think that gang banging starts from poverty, a situation. But if you look at the Rolling 60s, those are beautiful homes right now. You feel what I'm saying? A lot of them are still nice homes, and a lot of gangbangers I know from that territory grew up with mother and father in the house. So it really kind of got out of control. What I want to ask you, sir, is I'm sure you've probably been shot at numerous amounts of time. What could you tell a youngster right now that's wannabe down? Extremely a wannabe. Because he doesn't understand that he's putting his life in danger, but he's also putting his family at danger. Give him some advice right now that can stray him in another direction, please.
Well, for one thing, a follower is a soldier, not a leader, And if you're going to follow somebody positive. Get your education, go to school, try to be somebody, and get into the Lord, get into the Bible, because the Bible is a reflection of what's going on. It repeats itself time and time and time after again. And it's the best teacher of all time, the Bible is. And what I would tell students is to get away. Stay low. You know, stay low. Stay out of games, because the outcome of any game is death or prison. You know, it's a thing where there is a conspiracy of genocide about killing a race. You know, killing a black race. You know, Los Angeles is named the mega of street gang violence. You know, then we Crip. Now they gang banging. You know, and then you have those who have went through the transits and trials and tribulations of you got the crack babies, the dope babies, and all that. And in 1964, 1968, we lost great leaders like Malcolm X, Martin Luther King. There was no leaders. Then all of a sudden, here come the conspiracy of genocide. They start killing our leaders. You know, us organization, the Black Panthers, were for a good cause. They divided them and sicked them on each other. So the leadership, you know, back then, who would know that there is a thing called the Crip Constitution? They don't know of any of that. They're doing it their way now.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
I can't speak on my personal experience growing up in the hood. For those who are not from sunny Southern California, thinking it's all about palm trees in Hollywood, that's mm-hmm. actually a misconception as well, because it's a mortuary called Harrison Ross Mortuary or mm-hmm. Houston's Mortuary. Anybody from Los Angeles area would know about that.
Yes.
Industry was actually built off of death by black-on-black crime. I've been to Harrison Ross Mortuary so many times, so I can describe it in my sleep. That's the mm-hmm. problem that I have with gang violence, because not only does it affect you, but it affects your family, it affects the mm-hmm. community. We've lost so many people to violence, so many people have been incarcerated. With the influxion of drugs into our community, it made us basically ravenous. And I feel that tonight's show, basically, I'm looking for some part and some form of a solution that you can provide that can help us understand this a little bit better and understand how we can make it better for those that are consistently in that environment that they cannot get out of. I was told back in the day that the welfare system was a plot and a ploy. The reason that they built projects in every major city in America was to keep blacks in the segregated areas so they would know where they are. They gave them welfare to keep them economically deprived, and then once they were in their own communities, that's when the problem started. Kat told me the other day, he said he grew up in a blood neighborhood and he hated it. His mother won the lottery and moved, but he said every chance he got, he rode on the bus back to his neighborhood to be with mm-hmm. his friends. Now, I remember us getting on the bus, the number 5 bus on Western and King Boulevard, to go to the movies. All we wanted to do was go to the 50-cent movies to see Pam Grier titties. For, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? We might be 10 deep. We sitting on the back of the bus. And then we would encounter all kind of other little situations and things. So I'm pretty sure that every neighborhood experienced that same thing. Now, what do you think about how drugs kind of destroyed it in regards to the police as well? Because Crash Unit was a joke. They turned out to be ridiculous.
The main thing is this here. We've been victimized of oppression. We've been victimized right now of the conspiracy of genocide. You know, not only are we killing ourselves, but there's others involved as well. it become a market, stock market now. Now you can buy a prison. If you got the money, you can buy a prison now, you know, to house the young. They house the young blacks and the young Spanish, you know. So it's a market thing. It's all about money now. It's the greed of money. This world is coming to an end. There's only going to be a few left, you know. And those few left are those ones that take to God, take to Jesus Christ, and take to the Bible and learn, you know, and be taught and walk His, do His will, not your own will, but do His will. You know, I started gangbanging at least 8 years old, you know, and I moved to California, and I found God. I found Jesus Christ. I found God, and I looked up, and I found myself preaching to my peers at 8 years old. So I knew I had a calling to look back on, you know. So the thing, that's why I named my book Crip to Christ. You know, otherwise, you know, we're going to be victimized. We're going to be victimized. Families are going to be hurt. We're going to stay in one place. You know, the opportunities and equal rights that we should be fighting for as a unit, that's what we should be focusing on and come together. You know, and different programs that we have, we like now the gang intervention has been taken over. For the last 10 years, 20 years, because of what the gang intervention workers have been doing, the OGs, people that have been there, you know, they have been, that position has been taken away from them and given to the authority. You know, so what I've done, I went to pre-intervention and taken the gang members who were there to come along as staff, you know, to get these kids out of what they're doing. It's education. They need to be educated about who they are, where they are, and what position that they're in. That's all it is. And they need to love themselves so they can love others, love your people, you know.
Indeed, indeed. But by me living it, I can understand that when you lose a friend that you played caroms with, and that's as OG as you can get. When you lose a friend that you roller skate with, you know, and it's senseless, and then you can find out who did it. I mean, it's like once it got out of control, it's bad. But to be able to see the effects of what it's done to our community kind of bothers me, because I know people that were from my neighborhood that weren't even gangbangers and died as a result of that. One of my dearest, closest friends, his name is Herbert Anthony Stevens III, was gunned down on 39th Street a day after my birthday. And this man never gangbanged a year in his life, but he was from the neighborhood. So that's the plight, you know. And then when I have to look at his daughter, you know, today, that's the problem that I have an issue with. We have a lot of callers, man. Let me get some of these callers, man, on the line.
Okay.
Stay tuned, sir. We are live right here on 93.2 Tweed FM with Mr. Skip Townsend. You've seen him on Gangland as well. You know that he's an activist. He's about, you see him on the streets, he's about peace. Mr. Townsend, can you expound at this round table right about now, sir?
All right, let me start off by saying, man, the very first thing I do is always give all honor and praise to God, man. So I appreciate what you got going on, what you're doing, and bringing a positive light to our communities. And you got a real one right there, Barefoot Pookie, man. I really appreciate all the stuff he's done since I've been in this field, you know. So I just want to start off with that, if it's all right, brother.
That's a beautiful thing, man. Actually, just for my listeners all across the country, even if Crips in Alaska, now how did that happen? That was something that we never would have thought about. But let's just have a moment of silence right now for everybody that has lost somebody and has been affected by gang violence. Just please do this with me. Just one moment of silence. Thank you. That's all that I ask. Now, Skip, You've done things to try to help the community as well. You've been seen actively involved in activism. What do you think can be a solution to this problem that we've created among ourselves?
I think one of the solutions is what we're doing now is that's recognizing the fact that it is a problem. And it not only affects us and our children, but it affects the community. I really like what you said about catching the bus, catching number five, because that's how it all started for me. Is I wanted to go downtown. For $1, we could see three movies. And we got there, the Crips was there. So we would never put on gang banging. It was the Crips that put us on, you know? And it was the atmosphere back in the days that kind of generated what we was going to do. And really, it was just about defending yourself. It was a bunch of fights. You know, we went around fighting, and everybody had a chance to fight, and some people fought better than others, but it was never about pulling guns and killing innocent people that we don't know. You know, the communities that I grew up in, man, we knew everyone. Even if we didn't get along, we went to elementary school, went to high school together. We went to Audubon, Dorsey, Mount Vernon, Manual Arts. You know, everybody went to the same schools, and we kind of shared experiences. So I don't know where it got out of hand today, man, but we got to realize for it to stop, it's going to take all of us, not just one person, but each and every individual that can hear us tonight.
Indeed. I remember, and this is true probably to this day, that the best pastrami place in Los Angeles is Johnny's Pastrami, and I couldn't even go there because they knew where we were from. We couldn't even go and enjoy that, you know, so it's like we've limited each other from our resources that were available to us, and
yes,
it's completely out of control, man. Man, we have so many callers, man. Let me take a few callers right about now, and I'm sure that they want to talk to you guys. Pookie's on deck. Skip Townsend is on deck. You are live on 93.2 Tweed FM. Caller, what's your name and where you calling from? Hello. Okay, let me check another one. 1 second. Caller, you're live on 93.2 Tweed FM.
What's happening?
How you doing, sir?
What's happening out there?
Everything is happening, man. What's going on, man? Do you have
a
solution?
How you doing, my brother? I like to say, first of all, man, I'm very proud of you, Tweed Cadillac, baby. All the way from Rancho Cucamonga, Alonzo.
Okay, beautiful, man. Thank you so much, sir. It's been a long time coming, man, but I've tried to put a platform up so we can help heal, move on, listen to some classic oldies. That's all we know about. That's what we grew up on, and I'm glad that you called. Would you like to say anything to Mr. Townsend or to Mr. White?
Well, man, I think it's a beautiful thing that everybody's doing, man, and like I say, man, it starts with the daddy's got to be daddies again, you know what I'm saying? Because without that father in the house, man, there's no unity. There's no respect. You know what I'm saying? So we got to take it to, we got to get the fathers to play that role as a father.
Indeed. Indeed. I remember, man, my grandmother used to always tell me and tell my friends, if he leave with you, he better come back with you.
Exactly.
It's like, you can't come back and say, well, Tweed is down there on Western, shot up. If he leave with you, he better come back with you. So,
well, look here, my brother Tweed, we didn't walk to talk many times, my brother. Right on Brownie.
Exactly, and it's always taught to us that the hood kind of will raise you not to be a coward. We don't run, we don't fear no man. And
that's right.
I can understand the philosophy, but I can also understand how the police played a big part in it as well. I remember they threw us all up against walls for no apparent reason, shook us down.
Of course.
Had Polaroid pictures, taking pictures of us, and it was like, wow.
Yeah. So, but we come a long way, man. But like I said, Tweed, this your big homie Alonzo, man. And like I say, man, we got to have the dads to come back, man. We got to play them roles, man.
Exactly. I truly agree, man. Thank you for calling 93.3. Big Alonzo from Rancho Cucamonga, California. So
get at me, my brother.
Yes, sir, man. Stay tuned. Make sure you tell a hater to tell a player, 93.Tweed FM.
I got you, my brother.
Yes. Now, Mr. Barefoot Pookie, I'm going to ask you something that is really going to touch you. Can you name how many people that you grew up with that you lost in this struggle in Los Angeles? I'm sure that that number is going to be astronomical, but I am very curious to know. People that were affected by their deaths in your life, can you just put a figure on it? So these people with all these wannabes that are in so many other states, I understand it's Crips in Alaska. So can you tell me how many people that you have lost in this struggle that really affected you?
Better than 100.
In the hundreds?
Better
wow.
than 100, because, you know, we were the baby boom generation of the 50s and 60s, all the original Crips in our bloods, you know. So, you know, basically 100 plus, you know.
Wow. That is some numbers that are ridiculous. Mr. Townsend, Big Skip, can you expound on that? How many homeboys have you lost in this struggle?
Man, it's so crazy you say that, because I just came back from out of town, and a guy I've been knowing 25 years was just murdered, man. And I'm thinking that other guy who was rapping, a friend of mine named Kevin Flip, he got killed earlier this week, man. And it seemed like the last 6 or 7 homicides, I've been knowing the people, man. It's been really crazy for me. So I'd probably say somewhere close to about 100 as well, that really ill affected. In 1993, it was 10 people from my community alone. Not just people I knew, but 10 people from my community that were murdered in 1993. So it's hard to keep track of. And I know I got obituaries from guys in Compton, Inglewood, Pasadena, all throughout the city, man.
Exactly. And that should be a wake-up call for everyone involved, because not only does it affect us by knowing the individuals, but imagine the plight from their families. You feel what I'm saying? And then when you have to look at their moms days later, and you have to look at their children days later, and you've been to these funerals that have been emotional. I mean, I've been to funerals where funerals have gotten shot up. So it's like, wow, people in these other states, you know, think gangbanging is cool, and they're mimicking and copying what L.A. did. They wouldn't last a minute on Crenshaw, period. Let's take a few more callers, man. Hopefully we will evoke some emotion, spark up some controversy, and open up some viable solutions to this problem. Caller, you are live on 93.Tweet FM ISM. Hello. Okay, one more. Hold on. Caller, you're live on 93.Tweet FM. Hello. Okay, got one more. Caller, you're live on 93.Tweet FM. ISM.
What's up, brother Tweed?
Hey, hey. What's your
going
name
on,
and where you
my
calling
brother?
From,
What's
sir?
What's up, my brothers there, Pookie and my other brother?
Yeah.
That's Big Skip Townsend. You seen him on TV, you seen him in the streets, you seen him at the peace rallies, you seen him at the peace treaties. We have real OGs, but we are not glorifying any type of gang violence. We are just trying to look for solutions. Can you add to this commentary, sir?
Yes, God bless, you know, because what these youngsters need now is spiritual inclination, you know, to understanding of the heartfelt. I'm an OG from Compton, Watts, and South Central. So it was like for me to be international, you know, I already was in different hoods and shook hands with them, gotten fights with the whole hood, but they gave me respect because I was down for mine. I never brought my homeboys in it because I didn't feel that was right, because I already know my homeboys, they was just itching. But the thing is, you need to spread the word that we are all black men. You know, and even the essays, you know, let them know that, you know, brother, we that penitentiary stuff is trying to overflow into the streets. But, brother, you're free. You know, you ain't got no shackles. If you knew your black history, you know, you wouldn't want to kill another black man, because you'd be like the struggle that we had from slavery and then on to now. We're still not free, you know, because we're caught up in this propaganda and all this other, how would you say, things of distraction for the young people. See, we had strong mothers and fathers, grandfathers and grandmothers. You know, we didn't play them games that these children now play. We didn't talk back to elders. Matter of fact, we wasn't even in the same when elders was talking. We was out the picture. But see, you got a lot of young brothers straying away because they can't break the monotony of discipline. And that's what we gotta teach our young people. Every time I approach, I'll be on the blue line. And I'll approach a youngster, I'll say, "How you doing, young man?" He say, "What's up, OG?" And I'll be like, "Man, you know, it must be beautiful to have a job and a good girl, because that's pretty much the direction you want to send them to. Have your spiritual foundation of God, because he's number one. Yeah, you do everything. I know for me to be my age and make it through, like y'all said, all the people y'all knew got murdered, man, I know about at least 10,000, because I was so affiliated with different neighborhoods. And every time I go somewhere as a child growing up in L.A., you know, 1963, you know, my brother used to run with Raymond Washington, my oldest brother used to run with Raymond Washington and Pussy M. So it was like, for me, I was firsthand, you know, Too Sweet and all them cats. But it was like firsthand for me to realize. But see, my grandfather was a reverend. He was a reverend, so I was young, fed into the spiritual foundation. So when I had that spiritual foundation and them prayers surrounded me, I took initiative and just went to school. Like I said, I played sports. And when you see a young man trying to pursue sports, that's a great thing, you know. But nowadays, man, we just got to pray for these young men. And when we talk to them, talk to dignity and talk to them about God, because
yes, teach them.
Indeed. Well, caller, thank you for calling, man. Hold on, man. We're going to get into some more music and some more serious commentary right about now. You're on 93.3 FM. We have another caller, man. Let me take this call. Caller, you're live with Big Skip Townsend, Mr. Angelo Barefoot Pookie White. Hello. Yes. Hello. Speak on it. Okay.
I'm scared.
Caller, you are live on 93.3 FM with Mr. Skip Townsend, Angelo Barefoot Pookie White. Speak on it.
Hey, Angelo, what's up? This is Josh Bryan from Texas.
Hey, Josh, how you doing? My good,
good
brother.
Doing awesome stuff in L.A.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you, my brother. And I appreciate your support as well.
When is your book coming out?
The book will be out in February, January, February.
Okay.
Yes. Very interesting.
Okay.
You know, and thank you for calling, Josh.
Good work. Okay. We'll see you later.
Thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
My question now is for Skip. Skip, planning on a book or something in the future as well? Because you have a big story to tell as well. And I understand that I've seen you, actively in the streets. I've seen you recently actively in the streets at all the peace treaties and the summits and the gang talks, as well as Pookie. What do you have in the works as well?
Well, there's a number of different things I've been doing, trying to just got back from Atlanta. So I'm working in a small town called Anniston, Alabama, and working in Atlanta trying to bring some of the programs. One of the things that I found is that the iron workers, the carpenters, the electrical unions, they hire ex-felons and parolees. So my work has been kind of trying to make sure I get them, get individuals who feel like they have no hope. They have no sense of where they can go. I want to get them into these careers. You know what I mean? So that's pretty much what I've been doing. I'll probably do a book or something later, but right now, so much work to be done, man. Like I say, all these homicides keep affecting me. So I'm gonna keep pushing that route.
Indeed, indeed. Let me try to take one more caller, and then, man, we're gonna go back into what I do best, and that's play these low rider oldies, man. Caller, you are live on 93.3 FM. Hello.
Hey, what's cracking? How y'all doing, man?
All right.
All right. Hey, Bill, for Pookie, man, I like what you're doing, man. Keep it up, man.
Thank you, my brother. God bless.
Yeah, this Keith Cutler, man, from Peru. You know, I'm the one who started the Cabbage Patch out there in Carson.
Right on.
Motivation and putting my big homies and Chris Williams from Harlem 30s, my relative, man, and I like what y'all doing. Skip, what's happening, Skip?
What's going on, man? When you said your name, your picture just flashed in my mind, man. How you feeling?
Oh, man, I'm feeling good just knowing you brothers is pushing, man. You know, it's all about that knowledge, that black history, man, and putting our people on point with what Bedford Pookie was talking about, you know, because I originally came from that west side over there by Sportsman Park, man, up under
come
that
on,
baby
come
crib
on,
home, man. You feel me?
Yes, sir.
And then
yes, sir.
Moms moved us to the east side, and I got introduced to the Pyroos, you know, and that's how it went. And everybody that know the true history of the Pyroos, they know that King Babalu, A.C. Moses, they know that Bodacious, Larry Cooper, rest in peace. Babalu's still living, but Larry Cooper, rest in peace. They came from the Crip side to the Pyroos, you feel
that's
me?
That's right.
And the reality is, man, we are the same people, man. And I love it, man, that Bedford Pookie, man, you pushing the line like you're doing about that God, man, that knowledge, because we're in these revelation days, man.
That's right. Revelation.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
Pookie, yes,
man, I love it. Yeah.
Call it. Man, I love you for loving me, and I love you back 3 times.
Yeah.
Hey, man, check it out. I remember my grandmama told me a story back in the day. She said, the reason we was in South Central L.A., because we was 2,000 short from being in Baldwin Hills. Now, can you imagine that? If I would have grew up in Baldwin Hills, would I have been in the, you know what I'm saying? We was kind of short, so we had to settle 439th and Western, which turned out to be the greatest experience and the greatest knowledge and the greatest everything of my life, you know. I was, South Central made me the man that I am today.
Come on.
Believe me, man. And it's like, I would not give it back for nothing. I just do not like burying my friends. That is my issue,
right,
man.
People,
but it's all about 93.3 FM. If y'all like low rider oldies and all in between, you need to holler at me, man, because it go down here every Thursday and Sunday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Pacific time for my out-of-state listeners. We do everything from Funkadelic to the Temptations, baby. And check it out, man. Let me get into a song right about now, man. This is where we need to be, man. This is Oldie, man. I dedicate this to Bedford Pookie right now. Big Skip, you a youngin', you might not be up on this, but do you remember going to the Washington Skating Ring or Washington and Arlington?
Come
it might
on,
bring
man.
Some memories back, y'all.
Come
here
on,
we go,
man.
Y'all. The Temptations, baby.
Why don't you come back to my paradise?
Come on. part of damn city like a real mission. Cooking their homie up, ask me what I'm playing now. Pushing on my radio, ask me how to stand down. Why should we homie don't trip? I got the antidote. 93.3, last station, jamming though. If you're talking my tweet, Cadillac, gone in. Just a little corn out, Thunder's iPhone in. Now I'm rolling to the sound of the streets, cause homie, that's that.
My people, Big Tuck with two P's representing the Tweed 93 Point, baby. We are back live with Mr. Angelo Barefoot Pookie White with Mr. Skip Townsend. Y'all want to be gangsters? You need to be listening to these two. They've been there, done that, as they say. We're here offering solutions, man. We are for the people. We are with the people. So please go tell your peoples. We're about to take a few more callers, man, if they not shy. Hello, you're 93.3 Tweet. Caller, what's your name? Where you calling from? Okay, you're done.
Yeah.
Let me see, man. Hold on, we got one more. Caller, you're 93.3 Tweet FM. Hello. Okay, I'm not going to even be concerned with that, man. We're going to keep it moving, man. What I want to know, gentlemen, what's on the horizon? What's in the future? How can we collectively come together to bring a meeting of the minds, one child at a time, as they say? I understand, Pui, that you said you don't believe in gang intervention. You believe in gang prevention. I thought that was kind of profound because I remember back in the day when we was gang banging, but always went to class, right? So because that's where the girls was. I was more of a player. You feel what I'm saying? So I always went to class. You know what I'm saying? And people was like, "How you graduate?" Because I wasn't ditching. I was gang banging after school. Cause I couldn't go home and tell my grandmama, you know what I'm saying, that I didn't have no good grades. So I understand, man, and Ham, man, my partner in rhyme, would always say, these cats talking about Crippin', and I show you some real Crips. Me, personally, I was a player. I wasn't no real Crip. I'm from the hood, but I wasn't no real Crip, actively out there shooting, killing people. But I was there when a lot of people got shot and killed, and it ain't cool, man. What can we do, man for man, pound for pound? I know it's not going to just stop because what I was told back in the day that it's been so much bloodshed to this point, till it's going to be basically impossible to stop it. And then what I was told by migrating to different cities and factions, I remember for my listeners that don't know, I used to be a rapper, and I was with Eazy-E, Ruthless Records, and DJ Quick. So everybody all automatically assumed that I was from the other side, but I wasn't. And it was like I said in a rhyme, I had a verse where I said, "I'm not from Compton. I dwell in Los Angeles, Harlem, California, land of the scandalous." I didn't understand that one little bar of rhyme separated me from everything. I didn't think that it would be picked up as it was nationwide, but I didn't want people to think that we were from Compton because we were from South Central Los Angeles. So I know that these words are powerful, and I also understand that every community is a good place to be, especially in Los Angeles. I mean, back in the days, I remember when liquor stores would deliver to your house. I remember when they stayed open to 2 o'clock in the morning. Skip, you can add to that. I remember when all the food was good everywhere you went. where all the mom and pop stores were black owned, and now it's like we have no economic power. Even the Latinos have Cardenas and all their own markets. We have not one black market where we can even feed ourselves. I find that to be a problem. We have the swap meets that are run by Koreans. We are consumers. We are not producers. We don't have nothing. We had everything in South Central Los Angeles. And it's like, what the hell happened? We sold out our community to others. I remember when Latino people, no disrespect to my Latino listeners, but I remember when they were selling oranges and cherries on the side of the freeway. And people used to laugh at them. The other day, a Mexican lady about 4 foot tall almost hit me in a crosswalk driving an Escalade on 26s, texting with sunglasses on, didn't even see me. So it's like, how did they come up so far advanced and ahead of the game, and we're still stuck where we don't even have a market to feed ourselves? So the problem is deeper than Crippin' and blood and all of that, man. It's a community effort that needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
What suggestions do you guys have that can possibly help that? Because I believe we would spend with each other if we had markets. And Magic Johnson, so what? He came to the community and he built a theater that's so damn high, a lot of us still can't afford to go there. So
right.
I'm not really... Man, and I would stand up to Magic Johnson if I met him tomorrow and say, yeah, it was a beautiful thing for you to put the theater in the community, but it's so expensive, and it's like, man, we need other resources, man. We need jobs, man. We need schooling, man. We need a lot of other things that possibly would help. Because everybody I know need a job right about now, including me. You know, I'm looking for a night job as we speak. You feel what I'm saying? What advice
can
you give? How can we help that situation?
Well, one thing you're talking about, you know, is what's been going on for years and years and decades, generations, you know, oppression to the black folks, you know. So what we need to do is bring all the leaders in, neighborhood leaders, community leaders, whether they be in politics, you know, whether they be in the police station, whatever, mayors or whatever, to support, you know, this peace protocol by Stanley Tucker Williams. You know, we need to set up things all over the United States where the gangs is gang summits, a gang summit, 3 or 4 day gang summits where people get to know one another, socialize, have civic events, they get to know each other. Because these gang members, they don't know anything because they haven't been taught anything. So they need to become first friends. You know, if there's some support, you know, somebody cares about them, somebody's giving them love, you know, then they'll love themselves and they'll love others. So it won't be in vain to set up things, the solution of bringing everybody together as one from different neighborhoods, you know, communicating. Skip is from the Bloods. I'm from the Crips, you know, but we fighting against, you know, to try to teach these kids that it's not like that, you know. So the thing is that we can do it, and that is the solution, because these kids don't want to be killed. They don't want to be in prison, but they don't have nobody to direct them and teach them. And that is a solution to bring them all together. And why me and Skip work together, we initiated the safe passage in schools. We had gangs going to from different neighborhoods, going to one school and all this kind of stuff, you know, teaching them, you know, about unity, you know, and nonviolence, you know, against the conspiracy of genocide. And then when you speak of Magic Johnson himself, he's invested into the prison system. You know, him and along with a couple other people, you know, black folks, that should be supporting this here, supporting, you know, the conspiracy of genocide.
Well, what I need to say, Big Skip, maybe you can help me, man, with this question. We've tried the peace treaties. on numerous occasions throughout numerous years. What do you think the effects have been as a result of those various peace treaties?
Well, I think pretty much what it is now is the drugs, man. I think that the peace treaties, the understandings, all the different relationships that were built, I think they work. I think what has happened is people are scared to go out and tell little youngsters, hey, we getting along with them. So people have relationships, but they hide them. You know, I got about 5 or 6 cats from 30 that's my friend, and I don't hide it. But there's other dudes in other parts of the town, they get high, they get drunk, they get full of that stuff, and they hollering the same thing the youngsters is hollering. They hollering, F them. We don't care about them. But what we got to do, man, is start telling the truth. When we go to jail, you go to one of the level 4 prisons, that's going to be your partner. That's going to be your best friend. You know, so what we got to do is start telling the truth. We got to build these relationships. Go back to what Barefoot Pookie was saying and sit down at the table and let each other know each other. We got to know that we are the same.
Right.
But there's the difference. The communities, and that don't matter. Western can't separate us. Jefferson can't separate us. King Boulevard can't separate us. Crenshaw can't. We got to come together and say we are the same, work against the same oppression. We are all being oppressed. If somebody to trip on, we start tripping on each other. So there's nobody else to trip on. Just imagine this. Just imagine going back to the days of 4800 and 4300. Who tripped on who in 4800? Tripped on Crips. Blood tripped on blood. Now we out here on the streets doing it again. You know, more Crips kill Crips than anybody else. More blood is killing blood nowadays than anybody else. That's because we forgot who we are. So we got to come back together as black people, start all over. Let's sit at the table and let's start from the beginning.
With support from everybody.
Indeed, man. Let me try to, man, I want to give everybody equal opportunity to call in and talk, man. I'm going to try to answer another call. Caller, you are live on 93.3. Speak on it.
Yeah, what's good? Hello. It's your boy Ricky out of Seattle.
Okay, man. How you doing, sir? Has the gang epidemic hit your community up there?
In Seattle and everything, I came out here, first of all, in 1998, so I kind of, like, stepped into something that was already brewing from down there in California. And keep in mind, my boy Tweed, I came from the Midwest, where we already was in a gang epidemic, the Vice Lords and the Gangsta Disciples. And I will say this, and Larry Hoover and Chief Malik, they're in a Colorado Max now, and they got an organization going on called United in Peace Incorporated to get the Vice Lords and the GDs under one umbrella, one nation, one love. That's what's going down out that way. So as I've been listening in on this conversation about gang violence, I can fully relate because I grew up in it myself, you know, being down with the Five, being down with the Vice Lords, the Stones, the Icky Cobras, and all that, you know. So, but when as you know, Tweed, I gave my life to the Lord like about 12 years ago, and me and my wife, we got baptized like a couple months ago. Thanks for the shout out over the air.
Amen.
Amen, man.
So the thing is, and the answer my guy Skip question, I take off my hat to you, OG, you know what I'm saying? I'm feeling you like a love song, you know. But to answer your question about unification, we can't have unified gangs out here. We ain't got a relationship with God, first and foremost. If we ain't got peace with God, we can't have, why do we want to have peace without the one who is the king of peace, you dig? So that's where, that's where it's going to fully start right there. If we ain't got a peace with Jesus Christ, the one who has died for our sin, the one who stood for love, justice, truth, freedom, and peace. And that's what the Vice Lord umbrella right there, but he stood for it without a flaw. That's what I told my homeboy out there in Indianapolis, my boy Low Key. Shout out to him.
Hey, real quick, man, have you ever seen that movie where the little boy is telling Bruce Willis, he say, I see dead people? You remember that when he whispered that to Bruce Willis? And at the end of that, he said, but the cold part is most of them don't even know they dead. So when you think about that, you're thinking about the spirituality of these people we're dealing with. What we're dealing with is dead people. They spiritually dead. They disconnected. And most of them don't know they dead. They get full of the drugs. They get full of the alcohol. And they don't even want to meet you. They don't even want to meet me on this ground of spirituality. They don't want to meet me in a church.
No.
They don't want to meet me nowhere like that. They think that they're somewhere in a greater place not being connected. So for me, I look at it like the little boy is telling Bruce Willis. We talking to dead people. And most of them don't even know they're dead.
true, although that's true and everything, but us, you know, that's been chosen, you know, me, you, my brother Skip, and Tweed, that's been chosen by God to speak the word of life to the dead and everything, just as, you know, Ezekiel spoke to the dead bones, you know, because God told him to speak. So as God told Ezekiel to speak in the ancient time, we got to speak to our generation right there, that valley of dry bones that you're talking about, my brother.
Yes, sir. I agree.
Well, let me say, man, let me interject right now, man, not to cut you off, sir. All your points are considerably valid in this forum that we are experiencing live and direct. What I like to say is that I figure that you must love yourself if nobody else do.
Mm-hmm.
You can love your homies, because I've loved my homies all my life. I still love my homies. I still love my community. I still love my city. But a lot of us really don't want to rise above like cream. Cream comes to the top. Now, if you just don't have it in you, man, you must believe in yourself, man. I always say to my listeners, what you do today can dictate tomorrow. And
yes.
I sincerely believe that. You must love yourself if nobody else do. So I believe that my contribution to stop gang violence is to teach the youth and the youngsters, even the OGs will take heed if you
mm-hmm.
come at them right with it. It's like, look, the world is great. Who would have thought I would have a radio show? I was known as a rapper. Who would have thought? But when you believe in yourself and you something that's bigger than you and you want to be a part of something that's bigger than you, it can happen. You just have to stay focused, stay motivated, do what you want to do as an individual, then you can help everybody else. You can't help
mm-hmm.
nobody if you can't help yourself.
Yourself, that's right.
That is 100% real, man. Let me take another caller.
Mr.
Martin from Seattle, man, thank you for calling in. Make sure to tell your peoples to tune in to 93.Tweed FM, baby. Hold on 1 second, man. I'm going to take one more caller, then we're going to get into to some more music that kind of what I do best. Caller, you are live on 93.Tweed FM. Hello.
Hello.
Wow, I guess I'm going to have to invest in a screener. My program director earlier, she's sitting here right now looking at me, and she said, you might want to get a call screener. And I believe she's right. She's
mm-hmm.
absolutely right. Caller, you're on 93.Tweed FM. Hello. Our phone lines are lighting up, but I guess people just want to listen. If you only want to listen, please do not press 1. When you press the number 1, it means that you want to interject. You press the number 1, that means that I will interject with you. Now, we got that established. Barefoot Pookie, how did you even get that name? How did you even get that name? Don't send a hit squad out to kill me and shit, because I called you Barefoot
mm-hmm.
Pookie without your authorization.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just
mm-hmm.
curious, how did you even get that name, sir?
Well, I added that to my entourage, you know, of fighting. You know, we were street fighters, and the most original Crips, you know, they were reputable street fighters. You know, so I added to my repertoire with Gun Fu, and I walked around for a whole summer when I was young, and I got 3.5 inches of calluses on my feet, and they became deadly, you know.
Wow, that's some way out stuff. That's way the hell out. That's the way the hell out. I remember back in the day, Skip, you might can add to this. I remember when we used to want to go to Hollywood, to the Hollywood skate ring that was on Sunset and Western. I'm sure everybody can relate to that. And we would get on that, it was called a number 84 bus back in the day. We get on that bus, do you know that anything could happen along that way? And when we get to Hollywood, it was like, okay, here we are. It's like, did you guys ever really travel in groups outside of your hoods to events where you really just wanted to go? Do you guys remember the KACE free concerts in the park? It was one in Southwest College that had the Whispers, several other R&B groups. And we all tried to go there or to go to Sentinella Park or Ladera Park, and it would always get disrupted by some stuff. Did you guys experience that as we did, as I did in my era?
Well, you being an original Crip, you know, I have to speak about the legacy of Brenda Washington. You know, Chitty Baby and Crips Don't Die, They Multiply. You know, we wanted everybody to be Crips. You know, the Crip multiplication turf ball started on the east side, and it started on the west side, but it spread it abroad through the Crip multiplication turf ball under Raymond Washington's legacy. So we were everywhere during that time. We were everywhere before they was eating bloods. We were everywhere trying to dominate and take social events and all of that. So that's my point that I'm talking about.
Yes. Hey, so Tweed, so going by what Barefoot Pookie is saying, just imagine we can't go anywhere. Because we go to the movie theaters, and there's three or four of us, but it's 15 to 20 Crips. So we come back the next week, and it's going to be 10 or 15 of us, but now it's 35, 40 of them. So imagine we couldn't go to none of them concerts. We couldn't enjoy stuff like that. And you know what's going on today, man, it seems like it's popular. Like everybody's a blood. All these rappers and entertainers want to be blood, but, man, I got a half a tooth in the front of my mouth. I got a plug in the back of my head that won't grow no more. The hair won't grow. And these guys, man, so many people dead, it was not popular. And it took a special person to stand up and go to these places and drive down Crenshaw and go to school each and every day. When I went to Dorsey, man, it was more 30s at Dorsey than was Blackstones or 20s or whoever's up there now. It wasn't like that. And when we was going to school, that's when we go to school to gangbang. You know what I mean? We go to school because we know this is where for sure you're going to run into the other side. And I mean, they didn't got watered down to the point where these dudes are just shooting, getting tattoos, and shooting people.
Mm-hmm.
It's symbolism. It's no substance, man. It's nothing to hold on to. You know what I mean? For me, it's over. You know, they say, Skip, you turned down. I'm like, nah, I'm turned off. I'm not feeling this at all.
Exactly. Back in the day when, for all my listeners that don't know, we had record stores that were in every community, and we had one that was on La Brea. And King
Big
Boulevard,
King.
It was called The Warehouse. And stars from all over the country would come there. LL Cool J came there one day. We tried to go up there to, you know, see some girls, and, you know, we got Rat Pack. We couldn't go to the Baldwin Hills Theater. So, man, it was places where you couldn't go, Skip, and it was places that we couldn't go. And that was way before the Magic Johnson Theater, and that was after the downtown scene. And, man, we were all affected by our actions and our community. What I want to say in parting right now is my solution is teach one to really by telling him what we've been through as individuals, tell him, show him all those obituaries that both of you guys have collectively, tell him all the other guys that aren't deceased but are in prison, and if we lead by example, I really believe that we might could put a dent in the situation. We might not can help it nationwide, because I was told it's Crips in Alaska, and it's like, are you serious? It's Crips in Utah, a Mormon state. So we build a monster, we turn the monster into a monster. I know generations of Crips. I know people that are old as us that are grandfathers. Now their children are still influenced because they've still been in the hood. Nothing is better than being in the hood. I know people that have left the hood, came back to the hood. I know people that have never, ever left the hood. Feel me? I never went to Compton beyond contrary belief. I had never went to Compton until 1991. I knew nothing about Compton. But my wife just happened to have been from Compton. So I ended up being in Compton. I never knew about the East Side. I was always a West Side person. Never. And I always wanted to be a player. I was going to Hollywood, if anything. You know what I mean? I had never been to Compton. So I understand that we are all the same, but we are all different, but we are all the same. I'm trying to take one more caller, man. We're not running out of time, man. If you guys hold on, man, we're going to complete this form. Let me see what this caller want to say, if they even answer the phone. Caller, you are live on 93.Tweed FM. Hello.
Testing, 1, 2, 3, testing.
Okay, fish is not biting right there. Let me try one more. Man, I have all these callers on the phone. If you want to speak, once again, ladies and gentlemen, press number one if you want to talk. If not, feel free to listen in. We would like for you to add something to the commentary, though. 93.3 FM, caller, you are live. Hello. All right. We're not going to even worry about that, man. We're going to do us. We're going to do us. Here is the thing, man. Here is the thing. What we need to understand collectively as an organization, as a conglomerate of black men that are possibly in powerful positions to be able to help others. Give me some words that you can actually say that can motivate someone to even want to say it, because how are we going to talk to a 15-year gang member veteran and tell him don't gang bang anymore? What can you say to him that he's going to listen to?
For one thing, you know, a 15-year-old veteran knows you've probably been to the pen 3 or 4 times. You've probably been shot, stabbed, and everything else. That's enough. That's enough right there, you know, to have these youth believe in him, you know. But when you get back to support conglomeration, that's what it's going to take. It takes a village to raise a child, you know. So we have 2 or 3 or 4 generations to work on right now to change this thing around, you know, from the drugs, the gang banging, the killing, and all of that. So we just need to get together and with the solution. And my solution is unity, and by having unity, you have these gang summits where you bring all the communities together, all the leadership, everybody, speak up on and teach these kids what it's really all about. And not only in there, but start supporting them with opportunities and jobs, you know, make them set up their own gang prevention and intervention, you know, in each state, you know, and keep it going. You know, I've been to several states where we started, but it lasts for 2 months, 2 years. You know, then all of a sudden it falls. You know, and maybe because the conspiracy of genocide have a lot to do with that as well. You know, but we have to be strong. You know, we have to keep it going, to be consistent. You know, with the solutions.
Indeed. Caller, you are live on 93.3 FM. Hello.
Hey, this is me, man. My phone hung up. The battery died, so I'm back on with you.
Beautiful, man. Well, we were just speaking on how we feel that the powers that be could possibly assist us a little bit more. I'm sure that you guys have worked with various police departments throughout various cities and throughout Los Angeles. What are they telling you? I mean, are they willing to work with you guys in a positive way, or are they just trying to just roll through hoods and roll people up? Because I was told back in the day that Operation Crash basically was just a way to get everybody off of the street and put a number on them so they could tag them like how you would do a deer or a cow.
That was their theory. That was their theory to solve the gangs, is to take the leader away. Take the leader away, and then, you know, that would put a dent in that was solid. But that didn't work. Quote, unquote, Kenneth Bell, one of the first gang squads of South Central Los Angeles from Lenox Police Station, which who moved up to bigger things with gangs and what have you, international gangs in Compton. You know, so what is really happening now is that we need to bring leadership, and we need to have leadership to solve this thing, to enforce safe passage, peace protocol, all these things that work, bring them into the community, and to be consistent with it, and have programs that will bring opportunity, job, and safer education, and all that to the youth. And I don't know if Skip was there or not, but I was in a meeting, collaboration meeting, with the police and the mayors and political and what have you, and they mentioned something. We doing the work now. bringing a solution to the streets to stop the gang violence in the mega street gang warfare of Los Angeles, South Central. And they mentioned something about, we're going to go back to 1970 and 80 for cold cases. So what does that tell you? You know, they don't want us to do the work. You know, it's a fear there that we can stop this by coming together, the gangbangers, the potential gangbangers, and the younger generations. They don't want that. They want to keep it going so they can hire more police, and let this be a police state where they run everything. Actually, they have taken over gang intervention now, and they don't know what to do with it. They're not supporting the kids or anything like that there. They're not supporting the communities in the way they spoke for the solution that we put down that was successful.
Also, the prison industry, from what I've learned in my own various researches, is that they make so much money off of the inmates in general as well, till it's the warehousing philosophy and principles that they must keep those prisons open. You know what I mean?
Yes, reform
and
slavery.
The worst of the worst are housed separately. They don't make them work, but everybody else that they can roll up for that $10 crack rock, you know, is going to end up being working, and they're going to generate so much money. And like I've always heard that, it costs more to keep a guy in prison than it does to send him to a university.
Yes,
and
it does.
It's completely true, man. Let me try to grab this last caller, man. I see he's lighting up. Caller from 615 Erie Code. You are live on 93.2. Hello.
Yeah, testing 1, 2, 3. Am I coming through?
Yeah, you all the way through. What's your name and where you calling from?
Yeah, hey. This is Chris Williams calling in from Nashville, Tennessee, born and raised in Los Angeles. Born on Normandy Avenue and King Boulevard, went to Normandy Ave, Fauché, John Mayer, Crenshaw. You know, I did the West Side thing. But I also went to church on the East Side. You know, I went to church on 51st and McKinley. I visited Page Temple on numerous occasions in the 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So
amen.
I was very much an all LA dude. And in my neighborhood, to be truthful, you see dudes wearing khakis, but we wore khakis because we didn't have no money, man.
Mm-hmm.
You dig what I'm saying? We used to go to the Western Surplus and get Percocet because that's all we could afford, man. You would get talked about when you showed up the first day of school with Percocet and khakis on because everybody knew you was broke. And then it turned into a uniform, but we was also going downtown on that number 5 bus trying to get them tailors made. You know what I'm saying?
Albert's. Y'all remember Albert's?
Look, Andy's, Tony's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But this is my point, Tweed, was that we all went to the USC Sports Club. You dig what I'm saying? And I wish Ricky Gamble taught me how to swim in the big pool, because little Frenchie would always leave me in the little pool and say, man, you got to learn how to swim if you can come over here. So I kicked it with Brims, Gladiators, a lot of the original 20s, a lot of the original Brims. The Brims used to meet up at my house on 41st and Pauldale. And then the original Harlems that was over there, like Rolay and Albrecht and Glumps and them, you know, they would be mad about it. But see, we wasn't neither one. We was Hardell boys because they had just disbanded the Black Panthers. So we was more paramilitary, pan-African mindset. So we really went with that black-on-black. You know, when Lou got, rest in peace, got killed for his leather coat at the Hollywood Palladium, man, we frowned on that, man. And then it turned into an epidemic where every Thursday you looked at the Sentinel to see who got killed.
I remember that.
You see what I'm saying?
I remember that.
It was like we had black love, man, and then the reason why I stated that about the tailors was because we used to mingle, man. We was all trying to get the ladies. We go get us some teas. I grew up down the street from the Coliseum, the sports arena. I seen Super Bowls. Like I said, USC Sports Club.
We used to sneak into the Coliseum for football games. I remember that swimming pool you're speaking on, I could never pass the test because you had to swim up all the way and back all the way to be in the big pool. And I didn't have enough wind, so I never got to experience that. I remember that. I remember when we had problems coming up out of there just trying to go to Golden Bird Chicken. So, man, I've experienced it too, man, and I just don't want to see nobody else die as a result of this. That's my aim. That's my goal. That's what I achieve to accomplish here on 93.3 Tweed. Not only do I give you quality lowrider oldies, R&B, and all in between, I want to be of some help because I love my community. My community made me what I am today. I want to thank everybody for listening. Tonight is going down, man. We have a Big Skip, a reputable. We got Barefoot Pookie, a reputable. So if you want to listen to anybody, you need to be listening to these two brothers. So my peoples, anything that you want to say that you can expound on right about now?
Well, let
What's
me just
on your
say,
mind,
man,
you have the floor.
One of the things you guys were just talking about, man, is how the Black Panther Party, the US organization, and all the things that was doing good in the community have been infiltrated, and they've been messed up, and they've been taken out of the community. So, of course, with everything we're doing now, what's the motivation for law enforcement or for CDCR to help us with this? They
right.
have no motivation because they would lose money. So, I mean, I can't speak for the higher-ups in law enforcement. A lot of them come to the table and say what it is that they say. But when we talk about policy, when we talk about who gives them a budget, you know, why does LAPD have a $1 billion budget? Why does the sheriff department have a $1 billion budget?
Come on.
The only way to stop gang violence is to talk to the kids in the community, not arrest them, not put them on parole or probation, but to have conversations and stop the violence. A lot of these dudes will not take that head of fame. A lot of these dudes would not be super Crips and super blood if they wasn't high on mollies and sniffing powder and all that. So what's really going to happen is when we're in the community doing this, we're stopping the violence. Just imagine what it would be like if we weren't doing the things we're doing now. If we weren't all active in the community, where would it be now? But we don't have a $1 billion budget. You know, we don't have $1 million.
Come on,
Skip. We don't have that. So let's figure out, man, how can we do it without money? We got to keep doing it without money, but at the same time, we got to change the way that lawmakers and the policymakers see who we are. They can't see us as ex-Bloods and Crips. They can't see that. They got to know that we're somebody's children, and we have children now. We got to save our community, and the only ones can do it is us.
Speaking of old time stuff, LA history, I remember. Back in the day, it was a popular clothing store that a lot of my listeners probably can relate to. If you're from Los Angeles, it was called Sir George's. It was on 41st and Western. But right next door to that was a Black Panther headquarters where you could go in there on Wednesday nights. They would teach you how to fight. They would teach you how to read. I mean, we had places where we could go, you know, not just a boys or a girls club. Or, because it ain't never been no YMCA, you feel what I'm saying, in my neighborhood. But we had that outlet to be able to go where if you needed a tutor in your math, you could go there on Wednesday nights and you would go to, you have your educational part, you would have your self-defense part, and then they would leave you with something positive, and we'd walk back down the street past Master Burgers and go on back home. So it was a lot of resources that were available for us back then that are obsolete and will never, ever come back.
Don't say that,
and
please.
It's really, really sad, man, because I got to say this, and then I'm going to let y'all have the floor, but my fondest memory was when you were a kid in South Central Los Angeles, every summer come, a job was no problem. They had what was called the CETA program. And everybody, I'm talking about everybody in my neighborhood had a job. Some of us worked at the Coliseum, you know, in the pool, giving out tickets and stuff. It was always something for you to do, and you could buy your own school clothes and be ready for the following year. Man, it was opportunities there, man. All of those opportunities have long gone. They're deceased. They're probably never going to come back. Everybody know that L.A. cries broke all the time. So it's like how I'm looking at it from this point of view and where I'm sitting right now and the platform that I have right now. The only thing I could do is touch one person at a time. And I could touch a million people at a time, one person at a time. I really want to thank you guys, man, for even coming on this platform, man, to give your viewpoints. Y'all got the floor. Anything, man, you want to say in closing, man, feel free.
Okay. Well, I like to close with this here, is that, you know, you can't say we can't stop it, you know, but we can kill out, because it says in the Bible that God is going to destroy all but a few. So you know what that few is. That few is that who keeps God first, you know. So, you know, you reap what you sow. And all these guys, all these Crips and Bloods that are very active now with black-on-black crime, you know, they need to step up and fight for what our forefathers fought for. Malcolm X, you know, Martin Luther King, you know, Big Bucky Carter, what they fought for. We need to come together, you know, because if not, you know, the same thing is going to happen decade after decade, generation after generation. So my solution, and it has worked, you know, is to bring our people together with unity. I mean, whether it be in New York, whether it be in Virginia or whatever, bring them together, because they don't want what's going on. They don't want the killing, because they don't know whether they're going to be killed the next day. You know, so bring them together, you know, with civic events, getting to know one another, being educated. You know, that is the solution. And to keep it going. I was down in Kansas City. I was down there for a gang conference, and we set up everything. We left there, and for 2 years, you know, everything was okay. But before I was down there, someone said something about, you know, bringing Jim Brown down here, you know, because Jim Brown, he has a solution. You know, no, we have the solution ourselves. You know, we need to have 501c3s, LLCs, and everything. We need to collaborate amongst ourselves. And then that way, people, unity is power. Through voting or whatever, we can demand all this support from the powers that be.
Indeed. Big Skip. How can the people get in contact with you if they want to, you know, hear what you preach, man, be a part of your cause, man? How can the people get in contact with you, man? Let them know.
Well, every Thursday, man, we're at 35th and Normandy, 3500 South Normandy, the corner of 35th and Normandy, Abundant Life Church, and we assist some people in getting into careers, getting into jobs. And one of the things that Barefoot Pookie spoke on earlier, he talked about the peace protocol, Stanley Tookie Williams. So every Wednesday at 6:30, I'm part of the ceasefire committee, and we're still meeting 7900 Southwestern at Bethel AME Church every Wednesday at 6:30. And you can log on to Second Call, the number 2ndcall.org, and see the schedule, what we got going. But, man, it's a lot of stuff going on, and I agree with Pookie. We got to do it ourselves, man. We can't wait for somebody to come out of the sky.
That's right.
Can't wait
That's
on
right.
Superman, Batman, or none of them dudes. They're not going to do it for us, man. We got to do it ourselves. So, you know, let's just get it together, man, and get going.
Right.
So, Pookie, man, how can they get in contact with you as well?
Well, you can contact with me through network, through Yahoo, Barefoot Pookie at Yahoo. I'm on Facebook, you know, and you can get in contact with me, because I'm out here. I'm going to and fro, you know, with this movement. So you can definitely get in contact with me through Facebook, Barefoot Pookie at Yahoo.com.
And for all my listeners, me as well, OGTweetCadillac.com, Facebook.com/TweetCadillac. Anything of substance that you want to bring across my desk, I'm definitely there for you. I'm willing to listen. I am for the people. I'm with the people. So please go tell your peoples, man. No skinny jean village people around her, though. And remember, y'all, nothing to work unless you do. Feel me? The day you stop trying is the day you start dying, man. And I want to say, man, thank you guys for coming and blessing me tonight with some informative information. On behalf of I Am Indy, 93.2 FM, we're going to get into an anthem of South Central. Maybe this can help you. Maybe it'll give you a little bit of enthusiasm when you walk out your house. But anyway, always understand that the music played tonight is a backdrop of the era associated with tonight's topic as it relates to a generation stuck in conflict. Holler back, 93.2 FM. Ism, baby.
Hey,
Skip.
Hey, come to
Los Angeles. You and your family can have season tranquility. Enjoy a
refinement. Hello, my name is Elaine, and I'll be your tour guide through South Central Los Angeles.
How to survive in South Central? A place where busting the gap is fundamental. No, you can't find this shit in a handbook. Take a close look at a rap crook. Rule number one, get yourself a gun. A nine in your ass to be fine. Keep it in your glove compartment, cause Jack is up. They love to start shit. Now if you're white, you can trust the police. But if you're black, they ain't nothing but beef. Watch out for the kill. Don't make a false move and keep your hands on the steering wheel. And don't get smart. Answer all questions. And that's your first lesson on staying alive. In South Central, yeah. That's how you survive.
Are you enjoying your stay in South Central Los Angeles? Or is somebody taking your thing? Have you been surprised by? Okay. Make sure you have your camcorder ready to witness the extracurricular activities on Black by the Police. So you and your family can enjoy this tape over and over again.
Rule number two. Don't trust nobody, especially a bitch with a hook to the spot. Cause it ain't nothing but a trap. And females, but get the Jackson business, you'll wind up dead. Just to be safe, don't wear no blue or red. Cause no tickets get got. In neither L.A., Compton, or Watts. Pissed off black human beings. So I think about a skip the sightseeing. And if you're nothing but a mark, make sure that's in before dark. But if you need some affection, mate, make sure the bitch ain't a section 8, cause if so, that's a monkey wrench hoe. And you won't survive in South Facebook.
Now you realize it's not always cracked up to you. You realize that it's fucked up. I mean, nothing like this shit gets gone in your feet. Palm trees and palm stitches. So I advise you to pack your shit and get the fuck on.
Yo, I'ma say what's up to DJ Chili Chill. Hey yo, Q, these motherfuckers don't know what time it is. So show these motherfuckers what's happening. Tell these motherfuckers, don't fuck around and start spitting. God damn it. Rule number three, don't get caught up. Cause niggas aren't doing anything that's caught up. And they gotta fight on everything from dope to stolen merchandise. Read the terms. Cause South Central LA is one big turn. Wait for a brother like you to catch a disease. And start slanging keys to an undercover with a wrong brother. And they'll smother a out-of-town motherfucker. So don't take your life for granted. Cause it's the craziest place on the planet. And L.A. heroes don't fly through the sky soar. They live behind bars. Everybody's doing a little dirt. And it's the youngsters putting in the most work. So be alert, stay calm. As you enter the concrete Vietnam. You say the strong survive. Shit, the strong even die in South Central.
Yeah, you bitches.
Thank everyone for tuning in to 93.3 FM.
It's
been Vanglorious. Raps Lieutenant with some definite solutions that can help your situation. Next week's guest will be none other than Gina Howard. Feel free to call me.
The number is area code 347-308-8747. I'm going to take this last caller. Caller, you are live on 93.3 FM. Anything positive to say? Hello. Okay. Next week I will definitely have a screener, ladies and gentlemen. But I want to thank my distinguished guest. Hello? Hello? Next week I want to thank my distinguished guest.
Phone line together.
Excuse me? Oh, I guess we got hecklers and haters. But that's good. That means I'm doing good. Thank you for calling 93.3, man. If you want to say something positive, feel free. I want to thank all my guests for tuning in tonight, and I want to thank Fookie. I want to thank Mr. Skip Townsend.